I say Esther, chapter 8. Let's pray quickly. Lord, we thank you for this day once again, and thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world, Lord. How we need your word to illuminate the path. Help us to think right, to act right, to be right, to live right, Lord. Without your word, we wouldn't have a clue. We wouldn't know what to do. So we thank you and we bless you. We love your word. We meditate on your word. Now speak to us through your word, Lord. Challenge us to be all that you created us to be, to live a victorious Christian life, and we bless you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Actually, I want to start reading. Keep your finger on Esther chapter 8, 8 and verse 1. And then let's just do a quick review. Go back to Esther 4 and 13. Esther 4 and 13, when you're there, say amen. And as we've been in chapter 8, think about how all this transpired from here to there. And then think about your life, where you are now, where God is trying to take you to. Amen? And how you can't judge anything by where you are right now. You can't sell God short because of the circumstances, the situations, the issues, and even the success you might be having right now. You have to commit to God 100%. So here we are. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with or within thyself that you shall escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if you altogether hold your peace," somebody should have underlined at this time, it's about the timing, "then shall the relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Verse 15, "Then Esther bade them and told them, return this to Mordecai, this answer, go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. All right, so here's just a few little recap notes that I put based on verses 13 through 16. Esther was the queen, but regardless of her title and our title, we work for the king and we must be about God's business. Number two, pray that you live your life according to God's timing. Pray and fast that you live your life according to God's timing. Number three, God's will is going to be done with or without you. If Esther wouldn't have stepped up, God's will still would have been done, but her life would never be what it is in chapter 8. All right. So God's will is going to be done with or without you and I. But all that God's called you and I to do will never happen if we don't give him 100%. Number four, we were born at this time for a specific godly purpose. Number five, surround yourself with people who will fast and pray for you and your godly purpose. Number six, go all out for God. Like Esther said, hey, I'm going to see the king, and if this is it for me, it's it for me. Number six, go all out for God and live as if there is no plan B. God is our plan A and you have no plan B. Just a quick recap with that. Live as if God is your plan A and you have no plan B. It's either God or nothing. You have to have that mentality, especially in today's culture. That's telling you that do whatever you want to do. All right, let's go over to chapter 8 and verse 1. Starts off, it says, on that day. So make sure you have that underlined because we're talking about timing. Think about where Esther was. She said, if my life is over, it's over. And then a lot has transpired, which we've gone over. And here we end up, chapter 8 and verse 1. And on that day did King Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. So here we are in verse 1. Make a note that God will use your enemies to bless you. You're trying to get revenge and God's trying to use them to bless you, and you keep getting in the way of your blessing because you won't let it be done God's way. I wonder when Haman put his house together. Did he know that was going to be Haman's house? When he bought his furniture, I wonder if he knew if that, I'm sorry, let me make sure I say this right. When Haman put his house together, I wonder if he knew that was going to be Mordecai's house. All right? When he selected the furniture, I wonder if he selected Mordecai's favorite furniture and favorite color. He was putting that house together for his enemy and had no idea. I wonder what he would have done differently if he wouldn't know it was going to end like this. I wonder what you and I would do differently if we knew how God would end it, but we got to get out the way so God can work. Look at Proverbs. Turn with me to Proverbs quickly. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Let's start at 18. I really want to get to Proverbs 22 is where I was going, but let me just give you some wisdom from the Proverbs this morning. Think of Haman's life. Those of you that we've been here, we've been studying this for a month or so now. It says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuse instruction. But he that regardeth reproof, or he that receives instruction, shall be honored. Verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it's an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Verse 20, put a star by this for our youth and those that are not so young. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Young folks, don't tell me it's not important who you hang out with. It's the word right there. Those of us that grew up in certain neighborhoods, and we would see sometimes things would happen to some guys, and it's like, wow, he was a good dude, but he was hanging out with fools. It's the word right there. Verse 21, evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. And this is where I was trying to go. I told you all I have ADD when I'm trying to study. I go all over the place. But this is a scripture I was trying to get to. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. All right. So verse 22, let me tell you that what it's not saying. It's not saying that if you're a good man that you're going to leave your kids a bunch of stuff. That's what it's not saying. Because we know if you give kids a bunch of stuff without God, all they're going to do is self-destruct. So you couldn't be wise doing that. It's talking about a spiritual inheritance so that your kids can be wise in God. And then they will know how to use the things that you would leave them. They did a study on some of these CEOs and their kids. You know the type. Nobody in here, right, who spends all the time outside of the house and never raised their kids. So they have all these CEOs that made all this money and left it to their kids who they didn't raise because they spent so much time making a living, they didn't teach their kids how to live. And when the kids get their stuff, all they do is just self-destruct. So that's what it's not talking about. We leave a godly inheritance. And it says, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Is that Haman? Is that Mordecai? Could be. So you just have to make sure that you're righteous. Otherwise, you're storing some stuff up for somebody else. Amen. Verse 23, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Verse 24, one of my favorite, he that spareth his rod hated his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Where's little man at? Oh, you left. Okay. Anyway. 25, the righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Never satisfied when you don't have God. What we would teach the youth, and what I'll share with you all, is 31 Proverbs. And when I was youth pastor and when I was Sunday school superintendent of one of my other churches, we would, just like what's today, today is the 16th, so you read Proverbs 16. So you go through the Proverbs every day of the week, you read one for wisdom to guide your life. And then when the first of the month comes, you start back at one, go all the way to 30, 31, and start over and over. And we had the youth, and we did that for years. The wisdom that comes from the Proverbs, something will minister to your heart today on the 16th. One scripture will minister to your heart. Then next month on the 16th, another one will minister to your heart. So make a note of that. If you're trying to seek the wisdom from God, it comes from the Proverbs. Amen? All right, let's go back to Esther. So don't think you're doing your kids a favor if you are giving them stuff without God. You're doing them a disservice. Esther 8:1. Keep your finger on 8:1 and look at Esther 2:20. Keep your finger on 8:1 and 2:20. Esther 2:20 says, Esther had not yet, somebody should have that under, had not yet showed her kindred or, nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. We know that Mordecai was Esther's guardian. Esther's just become queen. Mordecai says, don't tell him who I am to you as of yet. It's not the right time. In 8:1, it's the right time. And Esther brings Mordecai and said, hey, this is my cousin. Because it was the right time. You have to pray and ask God for the right time. When is the right time to reveal something? When is the right time to share? I'm not talking about deception. I'm not talking about hiding stuff from somebody. I'm talking about God. When is the right time to share? When is the right time to know? You have to be sensitive to the timing of God. Esther was a queen. She could have told him, look, I'm the queen now. I know you raised me, but I got this. Okay, I'm the queen now. Matter of fact, I tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do. It works out in a marriage, and it could be that your wife says, hey, well, you know what? I'm not a kid. You're my husband. You're not my dad. You don't need to tell me what to do. Or the husband can say, you know what? I tell you what to do because you're supposed to submit to me, although the scriptures say that we submit one to another. But we take those scriptures, Brother Manny, and we just twist them around so we could use them for how we want to use them. Amen? So it's about being sensitive to what God is saying, what God is speaking. So you know when is the right time and you know how to treat each other in the process of that. A kid might tell a parent, you can't tell me what to do. I'm old enough to know now. And parents, we know all we're doing is trying to protect our kids from bumping their head up against the wall. Somebody say amen. Amen. It was interesting. I was working with some students. They were 15. I always ask them, how many of y'all know everything? It's quite a few. Y'all be surprised. Out of 50 kids, how many kids, 15-year-olds, know everything? They do. They think they do. So I'm asking them the question, how many of you have a younger brother or sister? And a few of them did, said they had a 5-year-old brother or sister. I said, how many of you, the 5-year-old, knows more than you? I said, no, I'm 3 times his age. It's things they don't know anything about. I said, how about your parents? How old are your parents? Well, my parents are about 45. I asked them to do the math. When they couldn't do the math, I knew something was up then anyway. I asked him to multiply 15 times 3. I said, oh, that's 45. I said, well, you know, if the 5-year-old couldn't tell a 15-year-old anything, how can a 15-year-old tell a 45-year-old? That's 3 times your age. Oh, that's different. All right. Okay, so at least you know what you're dealing with. And so, youth, you have to be submitted to your parents and your guardians. I know you're 15, but trust me, it's a big difference between 5 and 15. It's a huge difference between 15 and 45. It's a huge difference. Mordecai, Esther shows us submission, timing, God working. And if you operate outside of that, always has an impact on your relationship, good, bad, or ugly. In most cases, not good. So here we are. On that day, verse 8 in chapter 8, verse 1. On that day, the king Ahasuerus gave the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther, the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had not told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over Haman's house. Make a note in verse 2, the king already knew where Mordecai stood, because remember, Mordecai had saved his life. It wasn't a hard sell for the king to say, here, Mordecai, take my ring, take the ring. I know your integrity, I know your character, you saved my life when you didn't have to. You spoke up for me where you had nothing to gain from that, but you did it. See, integrity is doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And he knew Mordecai had integrity because he did the right thing because it was the right thing to do. So here we go, verse 3. And Esther spoke yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief or the evil of Haman, the Agagite, and his device or his schemes that he had devised against the Jews. So what do you do when you see the favor of God is on your life and you see that the favor, the river of favor flowing in your life? What do? You keep praying and you keep petitioning and you keep asking God. She didn't stop there. She got the house. They got the ring and she kept praying. She petitioned. She fell down. She submitted. She humbled herself and begged God that he would put away the evil and the mischief and the device. That word device, in the Hebrew, it means a scheme. King, please put away the scheme that had been devised against the Jews. Same word is used in Ephesians. Turn with me to Ephesians 6. The same scheme. Same evil scheme that Haman had put together against the Jews and Esther and Mordecai is the same scheme. It's being put together against you and I. That's Ephesians 6 and 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Please put a star, highlight that, put a note by it. Men, that's where our strength from. Women, that's where our strength comes from. Being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Then it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, which in the Greek means schemes, or the Greek word is methodia, which comes from the method of the devil. The same scheme, the same word. Esther said, let's put away the schemes. Here God says that we have to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We talked about the scheme, the blueprint, the schematics, the spider web. And this word, wiles, scheme, it also meant to lie in wait, as if the enemy's laying in wait for you to get you caught up. He has a scheme. He has a plan against you and I to get us caught up. He's just waiting for it to catch us slipping, so to speak, to get outside of the will of God, to get outside the protection of God, to start doing our own thing so we can fall into his scheme and the plan that he has. Same scheme. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Remember, if you're still getting upset with people, then you don't understand the spiritual warfare that you're in. Not wrestling against people. Not wrestling against your family. Not wrestling against your kids. You're not wrestling against your spouse. You're not wrestling against your pastor. You're not wrestling against your church members. It's spiritual wickedness in high places trying to influence you to get outside of the will of God. Remember, God has a purpose for such a time as this, and you'll spend your whole life fighting against the wrong enemy. And you will never reach, you and I will never reach where God has called us to be. Because we don't understand there's a scheme that's waiting for us to get us distracted, to take us out, and it's not people putting the scheme together, it's spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, this present age, this world being defined in the Greek as an organized system of deception. And we look like the world is falling apart, but trust me, it is planned. It is well put together to keep us confused and deceived so we never see the purpose that God has for us. You'll watch the news and think that the world is gone crazy, but no, it is an organized system of deception to keep you and I so far from the purposes of God and fighting the wrong enemy. He looked at me. She looked at me. He said this. They did that. I'm not saying we don't have issues in this world, but you got to know who's the puppeteer behind the curtain. And it's not people. All right, let's go back to Esther 8. So she begs him in verse 3. She fell down. She cried with tears. Said, can you put away the scheme? And I'm telling you now, family, she's praying for her people, which we'll see. And that's how you got to do it sometimes. You got to get in your prayer closet and you got to get on your knees and you got to pray. That's why we encourage each other to pray and fast daily. You got to pray for your family. You got to pray for the schemes against your family. You got to pray for the schemes against your marriage, the schemes against your kids. It's no question about what they're doing in the schools now. And we send our kids to school every day and it's all an organized system. It's even more apparent in the schools. We talked about it one Wednesday night, how it's just systematic ungodliness in our schools. And one of the young ladies shared how, you know, they have the, you can go to any bathroom, whatever you feel like that day, you can go to that bathroom. I don't know anything else that's more ungodly than just setting up a system like that to confuse our kids, because the enemy knows if he can confuse you as a kid, you will struggle the rest of your life. You will struggle with your identity. You'll struggle with who God created you to be for the rest of your life. And you'll fight the wrong enemy for the rest of your life. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to have tears in our eyes, praying for the schemes that's against our kids, that's against our marriages, that's against the church. That's what Esther's doing right here. She's being blessed, but at the same time, she realizes we're in a huge war and I got to keep praying and fasting and petitioning God in the midst of being blessed. What do? In the midst of being blessed, you keep praying and fasting. What do you do when you see God answering prayers? You keep praying and fasting. It's not about you and I. It's about our family. It's about our kids. It's about our grandkids. It's about our parents. It's our spouse. We're praying for everything. Praying for our church members. Praying, praying, praying. Verse 4. Then the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther rose and stood before the king. Remember, if he doesn't raise that golden scepter, then she's done. She's killed right there. You know what? She's getting on my nerve. Husband, say amen. She's getting on my nerve. I'm tired of this. She's asking for too much. Y'all gonna let me be in trouble by myself today, huh? I got you, BJ. I'm cool. I got it. I see. Straight fist. Carter, you lost me on that one, Carter. All right, I got you. I see I'm on my own. Here she is begging the king again. First, you show up 30 days. I ain't seen you. I ain't called for you. Show up in 30 days. And remember, we made a side note. If your man ain't called you in 30 days, he probably don't want to see you. And here you come showing up. And now here you are still. I just killed this dude for you. I just gave you the house and the ring. And you still asking for something else. I'm tired of this. Amen, Brother Anthony. It's always something, ain't it? I'm not going to be in trouble by myself. Am I right, John? Clarence, your wife's not here, right? Amen. Thank you, Clarence. You already know it's always something. And ladies, don't you stop praying for us, and don't you stop praying for your kids, and don't you stop praying for your church. You keep doing it. You keep asking God, petitioning God on our behalf. Somebody say amen. Amen. But look at verse 5. I'm telling you, verse 5 is really key. Oh, it gets deep, verse 5. She says, and said, if I please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and if the thing seem right before the king, and if I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman. We talked about 8 things that happened after she prayed and fasted. Now, look, I don't know if we're on 6 or 7, but write down that some things were reversed. Some things after praying and fasting in Esther's life, a whole lot, but right here in particular talks about reverse. So as you're praying and fasting during your morning worship time, pray that God would reverse some things, that God would turn some things around, that God would turn some hearts around. Pray to see God reverse some things. She's asking, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the provinces. Verse 6, for how can I endure to see the evil that shall come upon my people? See, she's not praying for herself. She's praying for her people. That's why she's begging and she's crying. She's praying for the kids, the grandkids, the wives, the husbands, the family, the church. She's praying for all the people. And see the destruction of my kindred, my kind. I'm always praying for my church family. I'm always in time and my quiet and prayer and worship and fasting time. I'm praying for the church here. Praying for my family, my wife, my kids. Praying, praying, praying daily. Petitioning God. Amen. It has to be a habit. Remember, if you're not praying for your wife, then you can't complain about your wife. If you're not praying for your parents, then you can't complain about your parents. If you're not praying for your husband, then you can't complain about your husband. What you find out is the more you pray, the less you complain. I know that's a tough word because I like to complain. It feels good to complain. But look at what they're doing. And God says, no, you need to be praying so I can show you what you need to be doing. What was the song by Fred Hammond? What did he say? Late in the midnight hour? God's going to turn it around. Right, 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 right. Everybody wants to sing that song, all right? Because that's what Esther's saying. Let it be reversed. Let it be turned around. Late in the midnight hour, let it be turned around. But we would go right past the beginning of verse 5. It doesn't start like that. It says, if it pleased the king, and if I found favor in his sight, and if the thing seemed right before the king. Uh-oh. Not if the thing seemed right before me. I thought it was the right thing to do, but, and we're talking right now, the King of Kings. Is the thing that you're doing, is it right before the King of Kings? And if I be pleasing in his eyes. Oh, we got to stop right there then. So before she got to asking, she had to check herself. Am I right with God? Is it pleasing to God? Not is it just pleasing to me or what the culture says or what my friends said, because your friends will tell you, oh, yeah, that's all good. Just do it. But she said, if it's pleasing to God, which brings up some questions. All right. Do you and I have the courage to ask God if the things I do and practice, he's talking about practicing, The things that I do and the things that I practice, is it pleasing in your eyes, God? People just want to ask for stuff and live raggedy, but they can't have the courage to say, wait a minute, God, let me stop. Is it not pleasing to the world? Not pleasing because the people will tell you, friends will tell you anything. And your friends who tell you anything are not really your friends anyway. He says, but see, because here's the thing. If God says no, then I got to change some things. I don't want to change nothing. See, I got to have the courage to ask God if this thing is pleasing in your eyes. And if God says no, it's not, then I got to change. And I don't want to change, so I'm not going to ask God that. Because actually, I already know, but I don't want to know because I know, but I just want stuff without living right. So before she got to asking God to reverse it, she had to check herself and say if this thing is pleasing in your eyes. So here we go. Okay. All right. I know it's going to get quiet, but that's okay. So she asked if it's pleasing in his eyes. And I'm not talking about getting caught up here in a struggle here and there, but I'm talking about the things I practice, the things that I've caused to become a habit, the things that are part of my character. God, if that's not pleasing in your eyes, then I need to change it. Because if he says no, I got to change some things. So number one, I would say, is my life pleasing to the king? I just want you to just think about these. So number one, is my life pleasing to the king? Number two, is my singleness, those of us that are single, is it pleasing to the king? The way you live your life as a single man and a single woman, is it pleasing to the king? Number three, is my marriage pleasing to the king? Is my marriage pleasing to the king? Is my number four, is my quality time with God pleasing to the king? And then we just throw in a bunch of stuff. Is my communication, my thoughts, my ministry, my business, my conduct, my service to God, my service to others, is it pleasing to the king? And then let's bring it home. Let's talk about, okay, so we don't have to go back that far. Was my last night pleasing to the king? I don't have to go back that far. I don't have to get too deep with this. All right, so this is what God gave me. God says, he says, how you treat God on Saturday night is a barometer of how you really feel about him on Sunday morning. Let me say that again. How you treat God on Saturday night is a barometer of how you feel about God on Sunday morning. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Okay, this is what I mean. The beginning of this month, I had a job interview on Saturday morning. So that Friday night, I made sure I went to bed early. Because I wanted to be fresh for my interview. I laid my clothes out. They were ironed. I checked out the route so I would be on time, so it wouldn't be no showing up late to an interview trying to impress somebody, Brother Tommy. So it was all a clothes, route, time, everything was laid out. Get enough sleep so I'll be fresh, so my mind will be sharp when they're asking these stupid questions. Next morning came, I was out, I was there on time. How do you do? Good to meet you. Yes. Praise the Lord. Why? Right, because it was kind of like something important was going on that morning. So God is saying, how you treat me on Saturday night is a barometer of how you really feel about me on Sunday. Just hang out, watch anything, do anything, be with anybody, and then I'll just stumble in and drag myself in and say, God, here I am. Make a note, never let God become routine. Amen. Never let God become routine. God sees everything, the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings sees everything, including our heart. I'm not talking a one-time thing. I'm talking about the things that you practice, the thing that you allow to become habits. That's why Esther had to start off in verse 5. If it pleased the king, the first thing she said, is our life pleasing the king if my singleness is my marriage? Is the way I talk to people, the way I treat people, my thoughts, is it pleasing to the king? Before I ask for anything, I got to check myself. And if it's not right, then I got to get it right. Does your life seem right before the king? That's between you and God. If it doesn't please the king, then it's probably something I shouldn't be doing. And here, make this a note, our standard is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. I don't care what the world is doing. They do that stuff outside, but that's not my standard. I don't compare myself to other people. What he's doing, at least I'm better than that, at least I'm better. That's not my standard. If it pleases the king, what I do is my standard, is your standard. So we get to reverse. Before I can ask God to change some things in my life, I need to make sure that my life is right with God. So then she's saying, and if I be pleasing in his eyes, highlight it, start his eyes. It's not about anybody else's eyes that's watching you. It's not worry about, don't worry about if my wife's eyes are watching me, because I don't have to answer to her. Yes, I do, but I have a higher standard. I have to answer to God, because he told me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's the standard that he's holding me to. See, because if it comes down to it, if Christ died for the church, then my will and my stuff has to die so that my marriage can live. Your will can live and your marriage will die. Your singleness will live and your relationship with God will die. Anytime you get close to something, something else has to die. You can't serve two masters. Jesus told us that. You're going to love one and hate the other. See, so either I'm all sold out for God or either I'm not. But I can't pretend that I am. It's a tough thing that she asked. She asked him to reverse this stuff. So make a note of this. And as you're praying to God, after you ask God, where am I at with you? Then you ask him, Lord, reverse some things in my life. Let's reverse those health issues and reverse the finances. See, some people just want to name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and God us for and no more. That's not scriptural. Yeah, you're going to blab it and grab it. All that prosperity stuff, that's not God. Thank you, Brother Manny. Appreciate that. That's not God. Before she got to asking and she's still petitioning, she's in the river of the flow of favor, she's still asking, am I right with you, God? Am I right with God before I start asking for stuff? Because if you get stuff without God, it's never satisfying. Amen. It's never enough without God. You have to be content where you are. And when God gives you stuff, you just let it just keep flowing because you're right with God. Stuff shouldn't change you either way. Amen. Stuff shouldn't change you and I either way. Remember, whether I have $100 or $1 million, you would never know by the way I treat you. You shouldn't when you're content with God. It shouldn't affect the way you treat people. If it does, then you got to ask God, is that pleasing to you? Which you know it's not. Because it's not like we can do anything without God anyway. We couldn't have got up without God this morning. We couldn't have got up without God this morning. And those of us that were driving on the road or even drove here, if you walked here, we couldn't have got here safely without God covering us. Stuff happens so fast. Can't take anything for granted. All right, so ask God to reverse some things. Health and finances. God, reverse the finances. Allow me to be a good steward this time, Lord. Reverse this foolishness, Lord, and give me the mindset, my finance, reverse some relationships, Lord. I haven't talked to my kids in years, haven't talked to my mom, my dad. God, reverse that. Lord, allow me to get back right and just and at least be cordial, Lord. Reverse the schemes that the enemy has set up that's lying in wait for me. That's what Esther was specifically praying for. God, reverse this attitude, reverse my heart, this unforgiveness, this bitterness, this anger, this unhealthy relationship I'm in. Reverse that. Get me out of that, Lord. Give me the courage to reverse this hurt and pain from what happened to me when I was a kid. So asking God to reverse some things. Check to see if I was right with God, then God reverse some stuff. Verse 7. All right, let's lighten it up a little bit. Amen. Then King Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, man, I love God for this, and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows. Make a note, God help me to never build my own gallows. Haman built those gallows for Mordecai, and he wound up getting hung on them because of his hatred. Because of his lies, because of his lack of character and integrity. God never allowed me to build my own gallows. God saved me from myself. And have hanged him upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Verse 8, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me, King? In the king's name. He's saying, write what you like. We're going to get to it next week when Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name. That's why when Jesus was telling them that, they were blown away. It's like, wait a minute. Because they understood this with Esther. They understood it with Nehemiah. When the king sealed it with his ring and with his signet, you couldn't touch it. Verse 8, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you. Write whatever you want in the king's name. Jesus said, ask whatever you want in my name and I will do it. We're going to talk about that next week. And seal it with the king's ring. This whole message we've talked about, how we're filled and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We belong to the king. We have his mark on us. This king is saying in the natural for them, as our king is saying in the spiritual to us, you're sealed. He said, seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Jesus said, I've chosen you. I've called you out. You have my spirit. I filled you and I've sealed you, and no one can pluck you out of my hand. Can't nobody take that back. Let me read it again and we'll catch it up next week. Write ye also, this is the good news. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you. In the king's name. And seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. That's a long way from your life being on the line. That's a long way from Esther, where we started. Esther said, I'm going into the king, and if I die, I die. And now the king is saying, you ask whatever you want and you got it. It's a lot that comes in between that. That's why don't judge your life by where you are now. But see, this is the key. If you never give God 100%, then you never know what God could have done. You and I will never know until we sell out 100%. We never know what God could have done in our life, in our singleness, in our marriage, with our kids, with our family, with our parents. And that's not on God, that's on us. All right, it's 10:30. Let us bow our heads. Bless you. So, Lord, here we are, and oh God, as you're challenging us not to be business as usual, to have enough courage to stand and say, God, is my life right now where I'm at, is it pleasing you? Before I ask for anything, before I ask you to reverse some things in my life, before I ask if I found favor with you, Lord, I'm asking, is my life pleasing in your sight? God, let me get right with you, because stuff without you is emptiness and grasping at the wind. I don't want to live an empty life and just grasp at the wind. I want to live a life filled with your spirit, your love, your joy. Don't want to miss anything, Lord, that you have for me, because I'm out of position, because I'm being disobedient. I see the pattern, Lord. Get close to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and everything else I'm looking for will be added. So we're praying right now, Lord, for the congregation and for all those here this morning. Lord, that you don't let us be business as usual. That you grow us up. That you challenge us to be the best we can be for you in the midst of this culture, in the midst of this society that says, do whatever it feels like and you're good. But you said, no, stop and ask, is what I'm doing pleasing in your sight? So, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We love you. Thank you for challenging us, Lord. Give us the courage to have that conversation with ourselves in the mirror and wait for an answer. And then do something with the answer that we receive. So, Lord, I'm praying someone might be here and say, Pastor, I need the first step. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. You say, Pastor, I'm here, but my first step is to get saved. Never asked Christ to come into my heart. I don't have the power of the King. I haven't been filled and sealed because I don't have the King in my heart. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I need to get right back on track. I need to ask that question. I need to do something about that question. Matter of fact, I know the answer to that question, but I want to rededicate this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home, and you say, Pastor, I just need some place to be. I just can't. I've been visiting and I like it. Like to plant here and just kind of be here just to hear what God is speaking to my heart during this season of my life. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. How we love you on today. I'm going to ask my sister, Summer, to come on up. Pray with her quickly. Ask some of the ladies, as we do it here, just kind of surround her and cover her as we do here at South Bay. Oh, Summer, face me right here. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you on today, Lord. And as you've touched all of our hearts, Lord, we all stand with Summer and we all say, Lord, we want to get it right. We want to rededicate. We want to get right back on track with you, Lord. All the world can offer us is temporary access to a bunch of stuff. God, we want more than just the temporary. We want the permanent, which is you, the relationship with you, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the faith that comes with that. So, Lord, your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Lord, just forgive us when we fall short. That's why we need you, Lord. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Our strength is in you, Lord, that we should be strong and in the power of your might. So thank you for Sister Summer and thank you for those who didn't come up and say, Lord, I need to get it right. I want to be close to you, Lord. I want you to lead, guide, and direct me. I don't want to miss anything that you have for me. So we thank you, Lord, and we love you. We bless you for her life. Yes, Lord. Bless you for her husband, Derek, their marriage, Lord, their kids. We pray over them. We cover them. Yes, cover all marriages this morning. Cover all singles this morning, Lord. It's attack. It's not an attack from people. It's attack from the spiritual wickedness in high places. So we resist and rebuke and we stand strong in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. We come against all the schemes that would come against us, this church, this ministry, the families here, the marriages here, the kids here. We cover our kids, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, reverse those schemes that's lying in wait for our kids and our marriages and our singles and our parents. We bless you, Lord. We love you because there's none like you. And we stand on your word that there's nothing too hard for you. Thank you as we all rededicate this morning. Cover and keep us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Hey, Chris, could you get Jalen out of there? Tell him to come up real quick. Come on up, little man. I'm going to have some of the men pray as we send this cat back off to New Orleans. Boy, the summer goes by fast. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Come on up, Brother Derek. I know you remember when this cat was going off to when he's a freshman at Poly, and we're talking about this dude. And then a freshman in college. Now he goes back a senior. So, Lord, we thank you for Jalen, Lord, as we take him back to New Orleans this week. We pray for traveling graces, number one, and journey mercies, Lord. We don't take anything for granted, like we're going to go and come back. So we ask that you go before us and prepare the way that we might follow. Thank you for all that you're doing in his life, Lord, and cover him, keep him as he goes back. He has his own place, and God, you've always been with him, and we just pray that he would seek you in the midst of everything else that goes on in college. Cover him, keep him, connect him with the right people, the right place, Lord, for his job, for his career, for his ministry, for his business, for whatever you have planned for him, Lord. We're praying that he seeks you so he won't miss what you have for him. So we cover him now as men. As he's been part of the men's fellowship here and what he does work in the nursery, Lord, we thank you for the gift that's in him. Thank you for the calling that's on his life. Cover him, Lord. We'll miss him. It's been a great 3 months hanging out with him. And we bless you for the time, Lord. And so we pray as he's not with us, but he's with you. Cover him. Keep him. Let him see you in each and every situation, Lord, that God's always speaking. Make sure he's listening. We love you, Lord. We bless you. And we thank you for this life. Thank you for the men that surrounded him, the men that keep in touch with him while he's in college. Thank you for surrounding him with good, godly men. Thank you, brothers, for always sending a text, a call. It makes a big difference. So we love you, Lord, and we bless you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give somebody a hug. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. You are dismissed. Give somebody a hug.